What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. That's from our songbook number 69, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. This morning, I thought I would share a topic that I feel that I could work on. It won't be anything new to you, but I hope that you'll study with me and maybe have a takeaway, some encouragement or a reminder. But of course, if anything I say needs correction, I hope that you'll be kind enough to explain the way more accurately to me, kind of like Priscilla and Aquila did for Apollos. Unfortunately, today won't be an exhaustive study or a how-to guide, but maybe just an encouragement to help us seek God, who freely gives us all things. So here at the Riley household, we aren't quite to the point with Evie in teaching her how to pray. We're just more or less kind of in the part where we teach her to be quiet and the importance of that while others are praying. And that's kind of a work in progress right now, but she did good this morning. The Bible is filled with prayer. We have examples, many examples. You can think of Abraham, Moses, Jacob, Elijah, David, Solomon, Ezra, Jeremiah, and Paul in the New Testament. You could even classify these examples into different types of prayer. Adoration, communion, thanksgiving, confession, petition, intercession, and maybe submission. You may be familiar that there's an acronym ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. There are also many positions and places described in which others prayed. They prayed kneeling, they prayed standing, sitting. They prayed silently, aloud, or alone. There's many examples of that. You may have some favorite examples of your own. Some of mine are David's prayer. David was a man after God's own heart. He often sought God before important decisions, and I've always admired that trait. I also like Hezekiah's prayer when he became sick. For me, in this case, it may have more to do with the response or the answer to his prayer when God grants him 15 more years. It's encouraging to have that example of answered prayer. But I think this is an area sometimes that I might need some work in. You know, prayer may not be answered the way that you or I think it should. But we read in 1 John 5, it says that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Other times, prayer may not be answered in the time frame that we think it should. Consider Nehemiah's prayer in the first chapter of Nehemiah. It seems that 4 months passed before his prayers were answered. So we don't lose heart. Consider Romans 11, verse 33. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." And then in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." It's important for us to consider, though we are to ask God for our needs, prayer isn't about getting things from God. Prayer is much more. It is necessary for our relationship with God. It may be that when our prayers seem to be unanswered, it may be that no or not yet are divine answers that are just as valid as yes. In reading ahead for our Wednesday night study, Paul says to pray without ceasing. I think this is another aspect in which I can improve. Not to take away from what Martin may teach about in a future class coming up, but why are we to pray without ceasing? One reason may have to do with how we can improve our relationship and dependence on God. Consider some of our human interactions. Employee to employer, you know, there wants to be that communication and that relationship there. A child with a parent. If there's not the communication in the relationship, it doesn't seem to go well. And another area I know that I could improve is the husband and wife. We got to have communication and relationship. Think about the other end of the spectrum. We can't really have a relationship with someone to whom we never speak. Oftentimes, we tend to go to God when times are tough. And we should. But part of being in a relationship with Him, we should go to Him at all times. And when times do get tough, then we can find it easy or natural to go to Him. You know, it's good because God desires a relationship with us. Revelation 3 verse 20 tells us, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." So let's think together. If I want to improve my prayer life, one place I might start would be in Luke chapter 11. In this chapter, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And in the response, Jesus gives them a sample prayer, a parable, and an explanation. In the explanation, he says, "Ask, seek, knock." Let's read a little bit in Luke chapter 11. I'll read verses 9 through 13. It says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now in the New Living Testament, the translation there says, "Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking." These words, ask, seek, and knock, they describe a persistence, and each requires continued action. It's not a one and done type of thing. But consider also Mark 11, it says in verse 24, he says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Conversely, though, in Romans 12, it says, "Continuing steadfastly in prayer." Luke 18, Jesus is going to speak a parable to them that men always ought to pray and to not lose heart. And Paul tells us in Colossians 4, verse 2, says, continuing steadfastly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. How many times do we pray about a need only to give up too easily? We should ask and keep asking. We should seek and keep seeking. We should knock and keep knocking. Let's look at some examples. We might call these examples some inspiring prayers. I'd like to start first in 2 Kings verse chapter 19, if you want to follow along. 2 Kings 19, we're in the period of time Hezekiah's reign in Judah. Some background on Hezekiah. He started to reign at the age of 25, and he reigns for 29 years. It is said that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He removed the high places and broke sacred pillars. He trusted in the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but he kept his commandments. In the sixth year of his reign, Israel was taken captive by the Assyrians. Then in the 14th year of his reign, Sennacherib took the fortified cities of Judah and come to Jerusalem to challenge Hezekiah. And this is where we'll pick up. Hezekiah goes to Isaiah in a time of great distress, and Isaiah assures deliverance. So let's read in 2 Kings 19, starting in verse 6. It says, and Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Hezekiah has gone to Isaiah and asked him to pray for them, and this is the Lord's response. But then, continuing on, it says, then the Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he heard that he had departed from Lachish. And the king heard concerning Tirhakah, king of Ethiopia. Look, he has come out to make war with you. So he again sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by utterly destroying them, and shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my fathers have destroyed, Gozan and Haran and Rezeph, and the people of Eden who were in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. And skip down now to verse 32 of the same chapter. The Lord's response. Therefore, says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and he shall not come into this city, says the Lord. For I will descend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were corpses all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. Now it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the temple of Nisroch his god, that his sons Adramelech and Sherezar struck him down with a sword, and they escaped into the land of Arat. Then Esarhaddon his son reigned in his place. So we read here, Hezekiah was in distress, so he goes to Isaiah, asks Isaiah to pray, and then he goes up to the Lord, and he prays. 1 Peter chapter 5 tells us, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. In a way, it sounds like this is what Hezekiah did, and he prays to God, and he praises God. He says, O Lord, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. And he prays for God to be glorified. He says that, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the God, the Lord God, you alone. So God answers his prayer. Let's look at another example. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. The story of Daniel will probably be familiar to us. Daniel was presumably an older man by this time. He was promoted to third in charge over the kingdom. Daniel was a good man. He was faithful. There was no error or fault to be found in him. But because of envy and jealousy, the people around him are selfishly going to seek for his ruin. They could find no advantage over him, so they have to contrive some new law to have this advantage over him. Let's read in Daniel 6, starting in verse 3. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault to be found in him. Then these men said, We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore King Darius signed the written decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day, and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since earlier days. It says he prayed. He gave thanks, as was his custom. He had been doing this for a very long time. In Daniel's devotion, he doesn't retire to the country or disappear because this law was leveled against him. He stands his ground, perhaps knowing that he had a fair opportunity of honoring God before men and showing that he preferred God's favor. But he prays three times this day, as he always did. It's very important. Let's look at another example. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. This scene will be very familiar to us. It's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is pressed by sorrow and dread. He's accompanied by three of his dearest friends. Jesus spends his final moments before the arrest in fervent prayer, both stating his deepest request to God and expressing submission to the Father's will. The substance of the prayer may trouble us a little. Jesus always seemed to have clarity regarding his purpose and how things were going to unfold. But now he asked, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." This seems to be a battle between the human and the divine natures of Jesus. Intellectually, he knows the plan before creation. But as a human, the reality of executing the plan was probably weighing heavily on him. Not only as it would impact him, but as it would impact others that he loved. Let's read in Matthew 26. We'll start in verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Jesus prays three times. Earnestly he prays. But through all of this, Jesus surrenders to God's will, to the Father's will. And then in the last two verses, he gets to the work. He rises and goes about the work. So what are some applications maybe for us? Well, I think one could be great men realize their dependence upon God. Hezekiah, Daniel, and Jesus were all threatened by civil powers, if you will. Much more than I will likely ever be. Yet they realized that their ultimate dependence is on God. In this period of time in our world today, maybe you have found more time or opportunity or more reason to seek the Lord in prayer. Difficult time or hardship may come for different reasons and at different times, and we each may not experience it in quite the same way. The economic, the physical, and the emotional uncertainty of today is definitely a reason to seek God. Even through all this, we are really blessed to not be in a situation quite like Hezekiah, Daniel, or Jesus. But we should depend on our God. Another application, prayer should be constant, so that when trouble does come, turning to God is natural. We learn from Luke chapter 11, persistence. We need to be persistent. I'm reminded of some songs that we sing, some of the verses. Be with me, Lord. It says, be with me, Lord, no other gift or blessing thou couldst bestow, could with this one compare, a constant sense of thy abiding presence, where'er I am, to feel that thou art near. Also in Abide With Me, this is a great song, I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be through clouds and sunshine? Oh, abide with me. We need to be in the relationship with God so that when trouble does come, we're already in Him. Another application, God is a loving and responsive Father, and He promises to help. Hezekiah and Daniel both received help from God. We read in John chapter 14, Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And the last point, you know, God may allow us to suffer for a greater good to come. We think of Daniel. He was thrown into the lion's den. Following his prayers, they catch him in the act, I guess. But ultimately, God was glorified in all that, and the king was happy that Daniel was still alive. In Jesus, he surrenders to the Father's will, and we are eternally grateful for his resolve in waiting for God's will to be done. Again, Luke 18 tells us men always ought to pray and to not lose heart. Going back to where we started in Luke chapter 11, in the parable that Jesus says to the disciples, and starting in verse 5, he says, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread, from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I hope that these thoughts are helpful to you. And at this time, we'll turn it back over to Travis for our last song. Thank you.